Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Try to come back tomorrow. And a cricket just well, that's okay. The thing is, just turn it if you guys.
On his way to Bulford, the big left-handed West Indian captain waits, tapping away at the crease. Walker is on the way, and Lloyd, off the back foot, crashes it through the covers. That's four more runs. Beautiful shot by Lloyd. Full of confidence. Flowing back foot shot. Meets the batter, racing away to the boundary. McCulloch in the covers had no chance of catching it.
This tiny young fella, by the name of Chiwa, left all the way from China, because of Kerry Packer. He said he heard so much about cricket, but he wants someone to explain it. Death match between Australia and we, so we start listening to the commentary. He hear the ball swinging, he started asking about Adam. He want to apply for the job as the night watchman. Just then he hear fingers, he said like married people can't play this game.
Sends the ball away from Richards. Rubs his fingers into the soil, comes in once more. Richards goes back, tries to cut it out for the wicket. Marsh takes the chances. Richards tries to cut, just got a top edge onto it. And the Australian is naturally jubilant at getting the prime West Indian wicket. Richards caught Marsh, bowled by Bright for 88.
Imagine my calamity, explaining cricket to the Chinese. He never see cricket before, so he starts saying stupid things in galore. Everything he wants to consume, so he went and turned up the volume. With his radio blasting in my head, he continues saying things that are dread. He goes to the chest and leg break, the boy that is dangerous. He asks me if that means Richard getting 3 months sickly for court. The bowler that was spinning, he wonder if he gets Malkadi. When he hears Clive Black get his entry, he says somebody take toilet paper quickly.
Ready with time, but it's not very well. Australia in tremendous trouble. Robert turns and bustling stuff on the way. And Gilmore goes back in his middle stump, is flying out of the ground. Meets completely there for pace. Robert's ready to put everything into that one. And gets his revenge after that 6 shot.
He hear Miss Feeling slip. He say she ain't a blow shame. A back foot point and silly me done. He tell me what a stupid game. Then he hear about long leg, fine leg and short leg too. The man turn and tell me like this game is for retarded people. He hear two batsmen pad up. Well, my tiny partner was shocked. Robert's on the attack. He says war, so he going back. Just then, the bowler googly. He said that tiny fella live next to him. Then umpire say over, but he didn't know. You know he went and he take off the radio. Ready!
Greatest team on earth, who else? Diaz Davis, and Nelson Rodriguez, Conrad Hunt and White Gibbs, and the wicked keeper Hendricks. Australia, you lost the West Indies, it's past the trophy. We lost the West. I say you lost, and you know you lost, now, yeah? Australia, stick your friend. Australia, don't mind you lost. Better luck next time. Australian jokers sent on crash helmet to protect the batsman from Hall and Charlie Griffith. I felt so sorry for Simpson, he tried but in vain. Griffith and Hall, wickets start to fall like rain. Three cheers for Hall and Griffith. Only when Australia make it big, Ryan. When he was facing Griffith and Hall, he so flew in fire. When O'Neill made real fast bowling, is to see him ducking. And then the very guy telling so much lie, telling the world how Griffith chucking. Australia, you lost the West Indies, it's past the trophy. Belong to us. I say you lost and you know you lost. Australia, speak your mind. Australia, don't mind you lost. Better luck next time. That Australia was strong, but only on paper. Before Test in Barbados, they pulled the scoreboard. But Rohan and Seymour carry up, we score. Oh Lord, three cheers for Nelson Canai. Special praise to Conrad Hunter, oh Luna. Brian Davis, Solomon, Lance Gibbs, Hendricks and Fassett, Butcher. All the boys fought gallantly under Sober's captaincy. So hip 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 hooray, for a glorious victory. Australia, you lost the West Indies, his boss Warren Trophy belongs to us. I say you lost, you know you lost, come on. Australia, speak your mind. Australia, don't mind your loss. Better luck next time.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. Powell. Are you on?
Hi, how are you doing?
Great, and even greater now that we have heard from you. We were trying without success to get you on, but now that we have you on, we're going to keep you on for a long time, with your permission.
That's all right.
Okay, I appreciate you. First of all, let me congratulate you for the work you have done in sports, especially in our neck of the woods. You have blessed my heart with a lot of sporting news over the past years or so. So, I'm sure everybody wants to know about your son. Why is he not with the Hawks, Bill? Can you tell us?
Kyron took some time off for personal reasons. There are some matters outside of the game which are of a safety and security nature, which he is dealing with at the present moment. He's just 24 years old. There's a lot of cricket left in him, but he can only play cricket if he's safe and secure.
Okay, I understand. Okay, tell me, what is, you know, everybody wants to know that you were once the corporate officer of the CPL last year. Is there anything that you see that... No, tell us about the Trinidad and Tobago name, because it seemed to be something that was up since last year. Why that was not taken off before? Do you know?
Well, I don't know, and I can't speak definitively. I can only say what I heard from the news, and it seemed to have been an issue with respect to the Trinidad and Tobago, the country itself. And I don't know if it has anything to do with the copyright of the name itself was copyrighted Trinidad and Tobago Red Steel. So I understand that they raised an issue again this year, and that the Trinidad and Tobago was dropped from the name. Now, I want to bet you that if Trinidad and Tobago did as well last year as they are doing this year, that there would have been no issue with the Trinidad and Tobago name being attached to the team. But they didn't do very well last year. They didn't play very well last year, and maybe some people thought that they were not truly representative of Trinidad and Tobago. But they are doing exceptionally well this year, and even though the name has been dropped, Trinidad and Tobago, I still hear the commentators referring to them not as Red Steel, but as Trinidad and Tobago Red Steel.
It's been so much,
Let me just introduce you guys. On the line, we have a number of our correspondents. We have Ivor Henry, you're familiar with him, Audley Watson, and I don't know if you have spoken to him before, and then we have Cardinal Mills. So what I'll do, with your permission, I'll ask that we take two questions, and we'll turn it over to Ivor this time. Ivor?
Yes, I just wanted to let Carla know that the Prime Minister of Trinidad and Tobago would have probably, let me say the majority of the cabinet would have said they're going to keep the name TNT attached to the Red Steel. So the sports minister is the one who did not want it. And for whatever reason, he didn't override it. Something like he got a spanking. Let me use those words and you would be familiar with what I'm saying. The sports minister got a spanking from the Prime Minister for saying that he wanted the name to be changed.
I couldn't really understand why they wanted to drop the Trinidad and Tobago, because it does something for the country in terms of advertising, tourism, in terms of letting people know exactly where the team is from and so on. So I couldn't understand it at all.
Yeah, that's our sentiment here as well. You said it right too, because who would not want to see the flag flying high? I think the people who should be crying out loud is the Leeward Islands and the Windward Islands, who don't have a single flag for our representation as Leeward Islanders. But the Antiguans, I should be, they flying the flags, and the St. Lucian will be flying the flags, just because that the teams are based in those countries. And I'm agreeing with you 100%. This is a way to attract tourism, and I believe, I know you're going to talk about it too, I think St. Kitts and Nevis is going to go a buzz in the coming days when the tournament would go on into St. Kitts. And who wouldn't want to see themselves on TV are here in the country advertising to billions of people across the world. So you're right, Trinidad and Tobago, they're accustomed to winning our 2020 tournament over the years. Yes, they've done well, they've represented us on the big stage. And because, I'm agreeing with you 100%, because they were left somewhere out in the waters, they felt like, man, don't use Trinidad name because this is not Trinidad. But this year, now that they're doing much better, I believe that the same minister is going to be one of them to be flying the Trinidad flag high if they get into the semifinals or the finals, and better yet if they would were to win the competition. That's my
absolutely. Oddly, no, I totally agree with you.
Yeah, yes. This is something that Mr. Paul, this is something that we discussed already on this program, and some of the views that you are sharing right now, some of the opinion is definitely view that, you know, we also voice our opinion about here, because we know that in terms of the name Trinidad and Tobago, when the audience, when the CPL has been in telecast all over the world, they know exactly where the Red Steel is from, where the franchise is, where the franchise is based, and it's Trinidad and Tobago. So I was really happy when the Prime Minister overrides what the Sports Minister did and reinstated the name Trinidad and Tobago Red Steel. And some of what I would like to also hear, Leon already asked a question, so I'll just stand down right now and pass on to someone else.
Colonel. Before the other person come in, before Colonel come in, let me just finish this. I wanted to say that. Maybe Colonel would say it. I know he's witty enough. But Colonel, I'm sure you'd agree with me that the team that is winning this year are going to be the one representing the West Indies on the big stage. And I believe that, let's say Trinidad were to win, they would have a better chance if they were to have all their guns with the overseas players, you know, representing them, of winning this tournament, in which they would have gone and fell short on two occasions. I believe that same minister would be going someplace down in India, wherever they're having it, flying the Trinidadian flag if they were to win. That is my take on that. But shall you take your time, Bekard, now?
Okay. That's
but you see...
Go ahead, Mr. Paul.
Go ahead, Mr. Paul.
You see, part of the challenge is that our people have not yet become accustomed to franchise cricket. They are so accustomed to a Trinidad team having all Trinidadians that they cannot grasp the context of having franchise cricket where Trinidad would lose a Narine, for example, to Guyana, and a Pollard to Barbados, and a Rampal to Barbados. And they would gain by being able to attract players from other nations, including international players. So just because they don't have all Trinidadians, that does not make the team any less representative of the location the team is based. Because in the IPL, the very same obtains. In the world of international football, soccer as some people might call it, it is exactly the same.
Yes.
In your baseball, in basketball, you don't find all of the players coming from the location where the team is based. But that does not mean that they are going to drop the name, for example. The New York Mets will not be anything less than the New York Mets because they don't have all of the roster coming from New York. So I think that the Prime Minister was absolutely right. And I think she did the right thing.
Let's hear from Cardinal.
Yes. Mr. Powell, I've had some concerns for a while regarding your regarding Kyron in terms of his performance. And let me go back by starting when I looked at him, made his first Test century in against New Zealand in 2012. Was it? I sat down and I looked at him and I thought, okay, he's on his way to a double. But I think he allowed Wagner to get to him, and he lost concentration somewhere along the line. So, and my thing about West Indies cricket is that loss of focus. One of the things I admire about Brian Lara, and what I think he's greatest strength was not his talent, but his depth of concentration.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if what is being done to groom Kyron in that aspect of the game, because you know so many of our young cricketers seem to lose concentration early, suffering from something that what I call the Kyle Hooper syndrome. I mean, I say it all the time, and I'm not expecting everybody to agree with me, that Kyle Hooper is among, you know, the five most talented cricketers ever to walk onto a cricket field anywhere in any century. But he doesn't have the runs to show for it, because I think somewhere along the line during his innings, he loses focus, he loses concentration. And I'm suspecting that might be happening to Kyron somewhere, that why he's not coming up with the big runs every time he bats. He's beautiful to look at. I mean, everybody I've talked to said that, you know, he's talented, magnificently talented, and you can sit down and look at him for hours playing cricket. But he leaves a lot of disappointments when he does not come up with the big score that we are certain that he can give us.
Could you get to the point, get to the question, and let's move on, please? Yes, I was asking you to get to the question.
Is there anything being done towards working on his focus, that mental strength, that focus?
Okay, I think... Let me tell you from the beginning, I'm a hard marker. People who know me know that I mark hard, and I mark Kyron harder than I would mark most, because obviously he's my son. But Kyron, the help that Kyron needs, we are arranging to have it done ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because there has been no Leeward Island tournament, no full Leeward Island tournament for too long, for years. So he does not have a chance to go to represent Nevis and to play 3 days of cricket and to learn to build innings in the Leeward Islands tournament. That is something that Viv Richards had a chance to do, Keith Arterton, Livingston Sargent, you name them.
Mm-hmm.
There has been, we're in the month of July, there has not been a single one-day or two-day game in Nevis so far. So there has only been a 2020 competition. So he has not had that opportunity to do any work of that nature in a tournament and in a match situation. We are in the process of designing a net facility, which he will be able to use, his own net facility that we'll be able to use, because my argument is that he must be able to bat at least 4 hours per day. The net facility which is in Nevis is substandard. I don't even believe they have enough balls for the one bowling machine that is available. And so that is clearly substandard. And I do not imagine myself going down to St. Kitts to use the facility in St. Kitts to supervise his training on a daily basis. That's a waste of time. So the other way to do it is for him to have his own net facility, properly lit, where we'll be able to do a minimum of 4 hours of batting per day. Do not let anybody fool you. You can sit down with a psychologist, a psychoanalyst. You can watch tapes. If you are a batsman, you have to physically bat. The tennis players play for hours per day. The swimmers swim for hours per day. My theory is that a batsman must be able to bat a minimum of 4 hours per day on the bowling machine. Because that is where you build up the concentration. That is where you know what to leave. Cricket, after a while, becomes like habit. You know the pace, you know the bounce, you know which direction the ball is moving, you know if it pitches a certain place, you can leave that alone and trust it and bounce, trust it and length and so on. Nobody can teach you that by talking to you repeatedly. You learn that by batting repeatedly. And so that is something that I have said to him, and which he is aware of, and which we are going to have to work on. Now, this is important not only for him, but it is important for the other youngsters coming through. People like Ross Powell, who got 100 in the first under 19 game the other day, he as well will have to learn to bat for hours per day. And we have been failing our young cricketers. We have been failing our cricketers generally in the leewards by not offering them the opportunity to hone their craft as Livingston Sargent did in a Leeward Islands tournament. The Leeward Islands board under Gregory Shillingford was an absolute and total waste of time. I have not seen much improvement under the present president, in that we still have not had a single tournament under his watch. And he was elected last year in December. So until the board can get itself working, until the board can prepare our players like the Jamaica board, the Trinidad board, the Guyana cricket board, with all their trouble, our players are going to struggle and they will have to do the work individually. And that is a shame, because that is exactly what the Leewards board is there for. That is what the Nevis and the Antigua and the Monstrat and the St. Martin boards are there for, to prepare our players. Are we doing this at the present moment? No. And I like to tell people, yes, we are extremely tough on Kyron, but from the test players who came from Nevis, there are six centuries. When we finish being tough on Kyron, we must remember that he has 50% of the six centuries scored by Nevisian batsmen, and he's only 24.
Yes. Talking about the Leeward Islands, Mr. Powell, I understand that Russ Powell, is he any relationship to you?
Russ is Ronald Powell's son, Ronald who played for the Leewards.
Yeah, okay.
I like to tell myself every Powell is related to me.
And another fact, I understand that one Kofi James was selected in the Leeward Islands under 19 side after the 14-man squad was selected on a request from the West Indies Cricket Board, and that he went to the airport and was told that there was no arrangement made for him to fly to Guyana. Do you know anything about that story?
First time hearing about that, but if that is the case, that is sad. Because the West Indies Cricket Board, if they made such a request, would have made it based on his talent. They would have been sending a clear signal, this is somebody we are watching. And if the West Indies Cricket Board is watching a player, and we haven't had any tournament, you have to make space for him. You have to find a room on the plane to take him.
Yes, but eventually
he's
in
a West Indies Cricket Board tournament.
Eventually he was sent to Guyana, but he was really disappointed, having not flown before. And his first time on an aircraft, and his mother and relatives were there to see him off, just to be told that no arrangements were made for him to fly. But eventually, he's in Guyana. But the thing about it, he cannot get into the side unless one of the 14 gets sick, because they only have arrangement for 14. But that is something. So we do have online with us Virgil Francis, another of our correspondents. Virgil, we are on with Mr. Carl Powell, former chairman of Leeward Islands president once. Am I correct in saying that? And also a member and a member of parliament, very prominent member of parliament in the Nevis government. So be careful what you say now, Virgil.
Good afternoon to all the panelists, and good afternoon to Mr. Powell. And I mean, hope you enjoy our show today, and as we enjoy talking to you also today.
Thanks.
Do you have a question for him, or we move on to Ivor?
I came in here, but one of my concern about West Indian players. I think these guys is not practiced enough, and actually when they have a good spot, instead of go home and work on it, as long as these guys hit West Indies status as kind of West Indies, all of a sudden I personally think I watch some of these guys like, okay, I reach West Indies, I'm at the highest of my level, I don't have to practice anymore, I don't have to push myself no more. And if these guys, no matter what coach you get and no matter what you tell these guys, if these guys don't really want to push themselves, we are not going to go forward. These guys, that is their job. These are professionals, that is your job. And when you have a job that you're doing, I think you should put it on all what you can, because that's what you're getting paid for. And I don't think most of these guys do that. They just need a fame, and once they get the fame, they're just like, anything else can come after.
Ivo?
Yes. Mr. Powell, you did say that Tyrone went off for personal reasons. And I know some things can be personal. In cricket, I am not too sure that I buy the personal thing, especially when we're looking to Tyrone to do, you know, an enormous service to West Indies cricket over the years. I and we here have picked him as a future captain. I mean, we might be jumping the gun, to be honest with you, but I see him resigning from cricket as opposed to being axed from cricket like all of the other six divisions who would have passed through. And the reason why I'm saying that, we were very hard and bravo. Leaving a tour in New Zealand, and all we would have heard is for personal reasons. And I feel like you become a public figure, and somebody should be telling us he left to see his wife, first kid. He left because of not no government giving him a land. Like, I would have left and get land and all that kind of foolishness. They might be personal, but I would hope, this is just me now, that is something pertaining to cricket. That we should know that he left because you said it. There's no cricket for him to play. 2020 is not going to help his cause, because he wants to play for the West Indies in all versions. Most of they're targeting him for the test arena, and he's helping himself by going to England, Barbados, wherever that are playing that format. And that is the personal reason, as opposed to just here. It's a personal reason, but we don't know what it is, whether it's going for an operation or what have you. That, you know, I wish it could be explained, and I hope it's not a trend that Bravo would have started, left New Zealand for personal reason. Now Kyron would have used the same thing. But I'm taking what you're saying here, and that was the reason. Help me if I'm wrong. That the facilities are not helping his cause. 2020 would not help his cause with a bushwhack cricket. If you can help me with that, I can always come back later with something else.
No, I prefer to leave it as is.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Respect.
Cardinal?
Yeah. Mr. Powell, what one of my complaints has been is that, and I think you confirmed it in saying that, you know, our young cricketers are not getting the kind of progressive development through which Viv Richards, Livingston, Sargent, you know, the old guard that came. And as I look around the villages, I'm not seeing any cricket. I mean, is anything being done? You being a member of parliament and all, do you see anything that we can do to revive cricket in the villages? Could we revive cricket in the schools? So that we can have that kind of build-up from the grassroots upwards. You know, if Kyron is not playing for West Indies or the Weather Islands at the time, he's absolutely certain to get a game, to play a game in Nevis on a Sunday, on any Sunday, you know, to keep him in it, to keep him focused on the game and to keep his skills improving. What has been done, or what do you see could be done to revive cricket in the villages as we used to know it, as I would say, from the grassroots?
Well, I'll answer you two ways. I attended quite a number of the primary school cricket matches this year, and the primary school cricket this year showed real promise. There were some very good youngsters who I saw at the under-12 level playing in that tournament. Secondly, there was a 2020 competition in Nevis which involved a lot of young players. They got me to come back into the game to manage one of the teams. I hadn't been to the park to look at so many games in such a short period of time. The amount of young players who I saw in that tournament in particular the bowlers, I was extremely excited. And I don't get excited very easily when I'm looking at cricket. It must be some standout talent to really get me excited. I was excited about that. So there is not a problem with respect to the talent among the younger group. The problem has to do with the organization of the game at the next level up. And I say that because I am also a member of the management of the Nevis Cricket Association. We have had for the year perhaps 2 meetings. I don't know if they have meetings and they don't invite us, members of management. But the president in Nevis runs a one-man show. He does things himself alone. So that is not helping our cricket. And it will not help our cricket. We are going to have to make sure that the organization of the cricket is done at a more professional level. And I say this advisedly, having served as president of the Nevis Cricket Association I was there for 7 years. I entered the game in 1986 as the secretary of the board, and apart from taking 3 years off, I served continuously until I left for the Leewards board, and I didn't leave the Leewards board until 2005. So I had all of that time in cricket. This is the worst administration I've ever seen in Nevis and in the Leewards in all of that time. So it is not a problem of the talent. The talent is still there. How else can you not have talent in the islands when we don't have the competitions, but yet still we made 300 against Guyana at under-19 level? Mm-hmm. And not only that, but in the game against Jamaica today, we led Jamaica on first innings. Admittedly, we didn't take a big lead. But we have been the whipping boys of under-19 cricket for quite some time. This year, they squeezed in a little horrid tournament. But you can see that there is some talent, because we are now leading Guyana, leading Jamaica. A century from Ross in the first game, and wickets from Louis and another youngster and an off-spinner. It means that there is some talent. We just have to give the guys the opportunity. When we played under-19 cricket, and I managed the Nevis under-19 side for too many years, but when we played under-19 cricket and we left, we used to train for 6 months. So when I took a team out of Nevis to go to the Leeward Islands under-19 tournament, I used to see the other coaches and managers walking around the boundary and shouting to players where they should go to field. And I used to have a laugh. I used to sit down one place around the boundary and look at my guys, because I had 5 guys out there who could captain the team. And we did that by design. We trained at home so that they knew the game, they knew what to do in difficult situations. And so I never shouted at Ronald Powell, Carl Tuckett, Stuart Williams, all the way down to Alan and Kyron. I never shouted at them. They knew what to do. And if they had a problem and we were in major trouble, all they had to point in a certain direction. They understood what I meant. But when you don't play, you have a problem. Because not only they don't play, but whoever is asked to manage or to coach the team would not have seen the players playing. They don't know what are their weaknesses. They don't know how to help them. Their players wouldn't have played against them at island level, so that they could now come in a team setting and say, listen, manage, this is what the problem is with this person, and this is what they need to do. Leewards cricket, in order for us to get back strong, we're going to have to improve the administration. Once we improve the administration, we have enough coaches to help our players. But we are weak at the administrative level. And we have been weak at that level for the last 7 to 10 years.
Audley?
Maybe I have a question, but it's on a slightly different matter. Just to ask Mr. Powell, what's his opinion on this present IPL?
IPL?
CPL.
I am extremely disappointed with the performances of the Hawks Bills and the Zooks. But then again, part of that challenge has to do with the way that the teams have been selected. You can't pick teams. Let me give you a classic example. what is the true value of somebody like Justin Athanase? And I love Justin Athanase to death. Mm-hmm. We have picked Justin Athanase in the Hawks Bills team, bat him at number 8, and not given him a single over to bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that fair to Justin? I don't believe he can hold his own as a bowler, but he's not bowling. What is his true value? I mean, if they feel that he's just a good fielder, well, don't pick him. Give somebody else a game. What is the value of Peters? What is the value of Cornwall, Rakeem Cornwall? If you're not going to get these players on the field to play consistently, why not pick somebody else? Are they our best players? And then I have a serious question with respect to our overseas players. Yes, I like Hogg. He seems to be bowling and he's getting quite a bit of turn and so on. But are we getting true value for money for our overseas pros in the Hawks Bill team?
No.
I don't think so. And when you sit down at the auction level, you have to know who you want. Why is it that we seem to allow other good players to go to the other teams and we don't even make a serious effort to bid on those players?
No.
It is reflected in the results. We are losing because we have a poor team. Plain and simple as that. We are not losing because of bad luck. Well,
what do you make of the captain? The captain. What do you make of the captain?
Well, I don't believe that Marlon is an outstanding captain. You know, he's making a lot of runs. But Marlon Samuels is not a Viv Richards. He's not an outstanding captain.
Well, it cannot be. Given a bowler one over, losing, and like you said, batting at number 8. That's where they come from, coaching or what. I'm going to bring the hammer down on him. But I want to get back on track a little bit, Mr. Paul, because I want to beat you up over the head, and then I'm going to take up from where you left off with the administration in Nevis. When Mr. Kyron Powell, as you said, would have scored 50% of the centuries scored by Nevisians, I want to bear in mind that he scored 2 in one game. And that is not a common feat. Even the great Vivian Richards, Sir Vivian Richards, the Richardson, they did not do that. And my understanding is that this young man walked into Nevis without the red carpet being laid. And your government, my government, was in power at the time. And I think that that guy should have been greeted on the airport like when we lit Willett off. I didn't do it. I remember Ivan Martin lifting Willett off a plane coming from Antigua when he first made Nevis team. And kind of remember that when we were all down at the airport when that incident happened in Antigua. And I'm saying that guy should have been showered officially. So I don't know who the sports minister in the administration in which we served at the time, but I think that should have been a great incentive to the young man and others, you know, to follow. I don't know if it took us anything on him. Me personally, I didn't like it. I'm telling you the truth. So that's your whip. That's for you. We can come back at that. Now, with the administration in Nevis, and guys, permit me to say this, because I've written about it. 40 years means something to me. I played with Willett, fortunately. And in 1973, when he opened the doors for all Leeward Islanders, and 40 years came around in 2013, and the administration in Nevis, and under the president in Nevis, who I spoke with, and I'll call his name, I'll show his radio, and he promised me that they have something in the pipeline for Willett, even after he's making the anniversary for the 40th. He said it. I held him accountable up to today because he lied. They did not do anything for 40 years, for Willett's 40 years anniversary. And today, this big hoobaloo about 40 years of culture rama, jump in France and drink rum and vomit and fall down under the same administration. I have a real big problem with it, Mr. Powell. I'm telling you the truth. And it's a big stick I'm bringing down over the cricketing administration in Nevis just because of that. So those are my two big sticks. You can respond.
Well, Iva, if I may, I will share some of the responsibility for what happened when Kyron returned after the two centuries. And I share because I was a part of the government at that time. I would say to you that as his father, the only thing I said to the guys with whom I served is that this is an extraordinary extremely rare feat, and that we ought to do something to mark the occasion. I left it at that, having said it, because I didn't want anybody to say that Carlisle was doing it for his son. But having said it, and having explained the context in which I said it, and having used the example of great players who had not done it, I thought that the government understood that something ought to have been done. I left it at that, and I will never revisit that in terms of discussing why it wasn't done at all at all. We missed the ball. We totally missed the boat. And it is not something that we can be proud of. With respect to the El Comido Willet matter, I feel so strongly about this that I do a program once a week, and I already made notations comparing all the hoopla about the 40 years of Culturama and the silence which greeted 40 years since El Comido Willet made the West Indies side. But it is more than that. It is to the shame of the people of Nevis that El Comido Willet, he still wants to work. He's still working. He's a coach, most successful athletic coach in Nevis, with the Charleston Primary School team for our primary school championships. But you know that El Comido Willet is not even on a full contract by this government. You know, since his contract expired, he's working month to month. That is to the shame of the people of Nevis. Somebody like El Comido Willet must be looked after. He must be properly contracted. It is an insult when you have somebody like him who is working from month to month. So Vance Amri can wake up one morning and decide, listen, when this month finishes, terminate the contract of El Comido Willet. That is not how you treat heroes. That is certainly no way to treat somebody like El Comido Willet. Because it says to young people coming up, listen, if the government of the day does not like you, you can be treated just as shabbily. But I'm doing a special on that this week, Thursday evening, because I want people to understand that 40 years since El Comido Willet opened the door was not recognized. But 40 years since we have been jumping up, walking up, drinking ourselves stupid, that is being feted this year. And there must be a telling difference.
Can I just ask, what station will you be coming on and what time?
We come on choice, and we go from 7 o'clock until 10 o'clock. Ivor can give you all the details.
Choice,
yes,
FM?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Correct.
What day?
Thursday.
Thursday, and we go from 7 until 10 p.m.
In the morning?
In the evening.
In the evening. And listen, what I should tell you is not, we not just talk sports, you know, it's rubber politics we're talking.
Okay.
Mr. Powell, just to change...
But we will be entertaining Vernon and Springer from the CPL this week as well.
Okay.
Mr. Powell, just
to change the question a little, to just change the argument a little bit, what do you make of Gail's sexual comment with the female reporter who asked him about the pitch and his response?
Mr. Powell, could you hold on? Everybody wanted a follow-up on this. He said something, and then we can go into that and shift gears. How about that?
Go ahead.
Yeah, my biggest problem with, we was talking, and I'm from Antigua, okay, and I'm going to give you the same thing I think what happened in Nevis and most of the small islands in the Caribbean with cricket. Government and a half do not care from it. Okay, I leave school 1979, I think. We were the last set of cricketers played in that school. Government never fund nothing else for these kids after. What politicians done, when it comes to election time, what if they go around or something, give kids some basketball and put a little basketball court, do not care nothing about the two sport at well. Football got ours be there. Cricket did not care too much because it was probably too expensive for them. When you have your heroes and the guys that play for your countries, as long as the politician in power and you are not probably yourself voting for them, they don't care anything about you. And if we don't stop this thing, we will continue having the same problem over and over. You are there, you're chosen to do a job. Majority wins. When you go in there, your job is for the people, not to pick and choose. And that is a problem that we're having with the Caribbean. If we start pick and choose when we go in there, we will be able to help our, especially the cricket that's going on right now, we will be able to help our cricketers, especially those guys that not playing now, give them a job at least so they can help coaching some of these teams and go around with all these other kids. And then I think we can reach somewhere, but as long as we got have the politics in there, we're not going to reach nowhere. And that's why we got to take out.
Find me. Mr. Powell, back to the question. What do you make of Gail's comments, sir?
Gail clearly was out of line. The response was inappropriate, had absolutely nothing to do with the intent of the question by the female reporter, and I figure that he ought to have been spoken to both by the CPL.
Well, I did enjoy the show this morning, and you know, all the other mornings, Saturday morning, and we'll be tuning in tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow evening on the Sunday evening show, 6 to 9 p.m. So come on, tell your neighbor, we are on 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Sunday. So on that note, I have bid you farewell so long until, not goodbye. Talk to you tomorrow.